Greetings to all the YouTubers that are just now joining us for worship. It's a great blessing for us, and we pray it will be for you as well. Special greetings to my good friend, brother, and pastor in Fürth, just outside of Nuremberg, and also in Rheindorf, where he lives, in the state of Bavaria in Germany. And he pastors Volksmission Zentrum Baptisten Gemeinde. His wife, Sabina, and sister, we are praying for you and for comfort in the loss of your dad. Also to Stefan and Patrick there in the church. All of us here thank all of you for joining us each week in worship. And we're praying for all of you there. And you can't see her, but my bride is back on the second pew. About time. So thank all of you again for your prayers, contacts, concerns, and encouragements. I invite you now this morning to consider the words of God that are found here in this first chapter of the prophet Malachi, verse number 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? This is the third of 12 questions the people of Malachi's day ask contemptuously of the Lord. Also in these 12 questions that are asked in reply to a statement of truth that the Lord speaks, there are 12 windows revealing the spirit of the age that God's people were in prior to his first coming, 400 years prior to his first coming. These people are inflicted with a spiritual malady that Malachi himself feels and experiences as a burden, verse 1 says. And the message that he delivers to them directly from the Lord also weighs him down as a load that's difficult to carry. So let's take up now this third question found in verse 6. Examine it and see the spirit of the age that this reveals. Verse 6 again, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? So the Lord makes three statements here, but it's really only one truth said three ways. So we have the indictment. The truth that the Lord states is, you despise my name. Then comes the resistance, the argument, the debate, and the challenge in the form of a smart aleck question, wherein have we despised thy name? The message is laid out for us perfectly here. Allow me to state these three points, though positively, because I pray you will leave today with a positive to apply rather than having the negative reaction of resistance that the congregation here displays in Malachi. So the Lord deserves honor, the Lord deserves fear, and the Lord deserves love. All found here in this sixth verse. So first of all, the Lord deserves honor. One more time, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? Now, please notice also, he said, and if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests. So do you notice the specific mention of priest here? In verses 7 and 8, he mentions the duty of sacrificing the animals and the bread that the priests perform on the altar. So may I remind us of just a couple of things, because he'll mention the priest again in chapter 2, verses 1 and verse 7, with the context of speaking to the priest from verse 6 going all the way to chapter 2, verse 9. The individuals in the congregation, they have to bring the sacrifices to be offered to the priest. So both priest and congregation are both involved in the sacrifices. Verse 1, the burden of the Lord, of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, not just to the priests, but to everyone in Israel, all of God's people. One other thing. Don't lose your place in Malachi, but go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. He says of those who are saved, but ye, plural you, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All of the saved in Christ in the new covenant are priests. It's called the priesthood of the believer, in that we come directly to God through Jesus Christ. There are no earthly mediators between God and man. Only Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between God and man. There is no office of priest in the church in the New Testament. Christ, our high priest, has made one sacrifice for sin forever. And there is no more sacrifice for sin that can be made. All that to say, don't disconnect here when the priests are singled out. The rebellion is the same, whether it's a Levitical priest or member of one of the other tribes of Israel or a member of a New Testament church. Now, back in Malachi here in verse 6, the Lord brings up the responsibility of the fifth commandment in his covenant he made with Israel, which is honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's the land of Israel promised to Abraham in the covenant God made with him. That covenant still exists and is still in effect. Israel is in the land since 1948. That's one of the biggest events of prophecy and letting us know that these are the last days of the last days for Israel to be back in the land that God promised Abraham that they would be in. That's Exodus 20, verse 12, that gives that commandment. So every Jew and every tribe hearing these words from the Lord in verse 6 knows exactly that he's speaking of the fifth commandment. They had it memorized. They could quote it. They could say it. But the problem is they wasn't doing it. Or they were just going through the motions like all the other commandments. 400 years later, the Pharisees would do the exact same thing. just an outward show, a form of godliness, but no power, nothing from the heart. So what does it mean to honor your parents? Again, don't lose Malachi, but go to Ephesians. Ephesians. Chapter number 6. And stay there because we're going to come back in just a minute with another quote from here. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Recognize and submit to their authority is what honoring your parents mean. Obey what they tell you to do. Fear them. Respect them. Love them. Love tempers the fear. It balances it out and is the reason for the obedience and submission. So the Lord asked his people, his son Israel, where's my honor? If I'm your father, you're my son, where's the honor? If I be a father, why do you not honor me? Why do you not submit to my authority and obey what I tell you to do? The Lord deserves honor. Number two, the Lord deserves fear. Master, he said, if I be a father, where's my honor? If I be a master, where's my fear? Master, Lord, servant. We would say today, boss, employer, employee. Does the business you work for that pays you a salary have a right to tell you what to do? Another word for that is, do they have the authority to tell you what to do? Okay, back in Ephesians 6, continuing, chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Employees, be obedient to them that are your employers. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, not just doing the job when they're looking, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, employers, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Fear and respect the authority that God has given them. All human authority comes from God. And we are to submit to that authority as long as it does not contradict Scripture. If the human authorities that God has placed over you contradict the Scripture, then we are submitted to the authority of God and His Word first. And they have exceeded and gone beyond the authority God gave them. So we cannot submit to authority that exceeds the authority God has given in His Word. But when it doesn't exceed, so the fear and respect is not necessarily what they deserve or what they've earned, positively or negatively. Those of you that were in the military, first thing we learned was you salute the rank, the office, not the person. It was still hard with those women second lieutenants. But I bit my lip and I did it anyway. You say, well, I just can't do that. Well, you need to find another job then where you can. After prayer and the leading of the Lord. Now, after prayer and the leading of the Lord, He doesn't lead you to another job. He must want you there. There's something He's working in your character by working for somebody that's a... Well, you can fill in the blank. So humble yourself to God's will and serve Him in that situation till He moves you somewhere else. The alternative is to get fired, and then you wouldn't have any money, and then you'd have a hard time finding another job. So, most are fully committed to your job. That's number one. You give them your all. You show up for work every day and you do your best, as we should, because it's unto the Lord. He is the one we're working for. We're there at a job not just to earn a paycheck and take care of our families. We're there to serve the Lord. So it's admirable that you give your best to a company. But where's that same faithfulness and dedication and commitment in serving the Lord through the church and worshiping Him consistently in the church? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He asked in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Master, boss, employer, yet you have no fear or respect to do what I say? And there is also an element of emotional fear. I know people downplay the word fear, saying, oh, it's not the emotion of fear. Then why is it that every time in the Bible anybody comes into the presence of God, or even in an angelic presence, magnifying the presence of God, the first word that's said is fear not? It's because they're scared out of their mind to be in the presence of God. I loved my dad, but there was also an element of fear there. Especially sitting in the principal's office waiting for him to come pick me up. That one time in all of my history in school that happened. It was not a pleasant trip back home. It wasn't pleasant when I got back home. I knew what was coming. That's where the fear was. Fear is healthy if it'll keep you from doing wrong. Number three, the Lord deserves love. One more time, verse six. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's my honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. You say, preacher, where do you get love here? What's the opposite of despise? There you go. Remember, take away this morning the positive, honor, fear, and love, and leave behind the dishonor, the disrespect, and the despising. The Lord specifically mentions that it is His name that's despised. A name represents two things: the character of that person and the authority of that person. These people who are called by His name despise His character as He has revealed Himself to be in the Scriptures. A person who is living sinfully and unrighteously despises holiness and righteousness. They utterly detest it, usually with a reply, "Oh, you're just judging," or "You're being legalistic." Each time the Lord reveals another name of Himself, another aspect of His attributes is revealed. Now, what is the name that He reveals Himself to be in Malachi? Verse 6, He said, "If I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?" What's the name? The Lord of hosts. Do you see that? The Lord of hosts. Not Lord Almighty. That reveals something totally different: His omnipotence. Or Lord of armies. There's no identification of who the armies are. Those are the modern day despisers of His name, who despise the name the Lord of hosts because it emphasizes His authority and control. Plus, armies do not include the sun, moon, stars, and everything else He created in the heavens. You see, those who despise His name will also despise His word. The Lord says, "You despise my name, the Lord of hosts." So watch what He does. The Lord of hosts is first mentioned, chapter 1, verse 4. Then verse 6, then verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 13, and verse 14, the Lord of hosts. Chapter 2, verse 2, verse 4, verse 7, verse 8, verse 12, and verse 16, the Lord of hosts. Chapter 3, verse 1, 5, 7, 10, 11, 12, 14, and 17, the Lord of hosts. And chapter 4, verses 1 and 3, the Lord of hosts. 24 times. You gotta love it. You despise my name, I'll give you 24 opportunities to do it. Look with me quickly at Acts 5. Acts chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 5. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. It said, "It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath exalted him, highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, Philippians 2 verses 8 to 11 says. Authority. The name means authority. Do you love or do you despise his name, his authority? Do you honor or dishonor him? Do you respect or disrespect him with your fear and reverence? And lastly, what is the spirit of the age that verse 6 is revealing? Rebellion. Rebellion against the word of God and its authority. It's resisted, argued against, questioned, challenged, debated, changed, even eventually ignored, disregarded, and disobeyed. The philosophy and opinions of this godless modern culture are adopted instead into so-called Christian churches, and the Bible is relegated as outdated and irrelevant. And look at the results. Apostasy and ungodliness, idolatry and lawlessness, rebellion against any authority but self. But I've got good news for you. What's needed is a rebellion against this godless, God-hating, Bible Christianity-hating, woke culture. It needs to be resisted, argued against, questioned, challenged, debated, their words changed, creating confusion as to what they said, and then ignored, disregarded, and dishonored, and disobeyed, and relegated as outdated and totally irrelevant at solving the real problems facing this current age. The Lord still offers salvation to the lost through repentance, admission of the guilt of their sin, belief in the words of the gospel, and an asking and receiving of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And the Lord still offers repentance and a restoration of fellowship to his saved people who've been swallowed up in the current spirit of the age. That despite difficulties and problems and health challenges from living in a sin-cursed world and in a sin-cursed body, we can enjoy peace, joy, fulfillment, contentment, and a spiritual influence on others, as well as a nearness of fellowship to the Lord. It's not a secret. It's right here in his word. You don't have to spend a fortune to get it. You don't have to spend a lifetime to learn it. It's agreeing with the Lord and to what he says. It's loving his word by submitting to God's authority over your life in his word. So apply this truth to your life and live it out daily. It's that simple. instead of resisting and despising his word, resist and despise the deceit and the lie of the devil that you hear in this current culture and its control and domination of the media devices that you're hooked up to 24/7. Honor him, fear him, and love his name and his word. Father, we thank you so much that we do have your word. Lord, we have your word from one who cannot lie. And yet so many choose to believe a lie from someone who cannot speak the truth. I pray that would change this morning, especially in the hearts of your people. And Lord, maybe this morning some lost people who've never been born again, maybe the light will shine in to what's going on, and that they would respond in repentance and admission of the guilt of their sin and turn to you this morning in simple childlike belief in the words of the gospel and in asking and receiving of you into their hearts. Lord, your people, I pray for us this morning. Lord, if we don't resist, we're going to be washed downstream with the flow of apostasy that Laodicea is characteristic of. Strengthen us, Lord, in your word, not just to say it, or not just to say we believe it, but to actually obey it and live it out. You said if we loved you, Lord, in John 14, we would obey your words. So, Lord, help us to not just say we love you, but, Lord, help us to demonstrate it in following your word. Thank you for these that are here this morning. Thank you for their faithfulness and commitment to worship you publicly from the heart, from the spirit, and from the truth. Now, Lord, help us to be what you've saved us to be and to do what you've called us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all